Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bono, Julie Hayden, on a beautiful day here in Colorado. Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up, brought to you by
AmericaCitizenPress.com, a great conservative website. Also, Dr. Julie McCown with Denver Cenogenics. Hey, before we launch into it, I always forget to do this. I want to remind everybody, we'd love to have you call in. 888-627-6008 is the call-in number, 888-627-6008. You can also go straight to chuckandjulie.com. There's a listen live button there, and you can just kind of click on that, and it'll automatically, either you can either listen live or you can call in. And also, if you want to join us on Zoom, the way you do that is you just go to zoom.us, and then the meeting number is 209-576-423. And to all the folks who listen to us on Zoom, we love having you there. And anytime you want to pop in, just go ahead. Sometimes you'll see Charlene raises her hand. Other people can go ahead and just unmute yourself and we will see that. So, a lot to talk about today.
A lot to talk about. A great day for old man golfers on Sunday. Phil Mickelson won against everybody. Sure, he wouldn't win. I mean, led after 36. Well, everybody.
And
the bookies. Everybody. Even Phil thought he wasn't going to win. And then he starts off Sunday with a bogey, and all of a sudden he's one behind. You figure it's over. But no, in the end, he comes through, emerges from the massive crowd by the grouchy
Brooks Koepka.
They ding me, those bastards. They ding my knee. I didn't like it.
As a result, Chuck is now quitting everything. Devoting himself to becoming the new second oldest man.
I'd be the oldest. I'd be the oldest. I hardly believe that. But I love it. You know, Phil was standing up to the press and kind of the oldest man ever. And he, you know, after a while, he's going, Not that old. I mean, oldest man ever to survive on this planet.
You people are all older than me. Here's the thing, though, that I'm going to volunteer myself for a new study. So he attributes his success to Zen, sort of meditation, mm-hmm. and proper nutrition. Does anyone ever say, I attribute my success to vodka and watching a lot of binge shows on TV?
Yeah. John Daly did.
I'm going to submit.
John Daly did. I don't think
he had binge watching that. I'm going to submit that there has not been enough research on that. Mm-hmm. So perhaps I will volunteer to see if my golf game improves. Yeah. And here's the thing. My golf game couldn't get worse, frankly. I mean.
But
if I just binge watched, and I guess that's true, it could get worse. But anyway, yeah, that was kind of fun to watch.
And here's a shocker, though. CNN, after Chris Cuomo was caught on the telephone advising his brother, along with lots of other aides and assistants, how to get away from all of the claims of sexual harassment and bad doing and so forth. So they decided to punish Chris Cuomo. And they did that by
firing Rick Santorum.
Rick Santorum conservative. Yeah, we'll show you. We'll show you, Chris. Rick is fired.
It's like.
And what Rick was fired for was he said, there isn't much American culture. There isn't much Native American culture in American culture, which is a absolute truism. I mean, I suppose we say we got part of the Constitution, the Iroquois Nation.
Isn't that the problem? Isn't that where we have to be so woke now? Because there's not enough of anything in American culture.
Well, I mean, it said we started from nothing. Of course, you started from European culture. You didn't start from nothing. But the one that got it, there's not much Indian Native American culture in American culture, which everybody would say it's not such a fired to show Chris Cuomo. Now, I love being a conservative commentator on CNN. One, you get to be the only one where everybody just harangues you endlessly.
Right.
And then they figure out some way to fire you.
Really quickly.
Not quickly, after a while. I mean, Jeffrey Lord got fired eventually because he tweeted out to the head of Media Matters of America, the president, Sig Heil. He was accusing him of being a fascist, I think you're trying to say. But they somehow took that as being a pro-fascist statement, I guess. So he got fired for that. And then they had a black conservative named Paris Denard. And they fired him because many years before they found out he got fired because he'd made sexually suggestive things to women at Arizona State some long time ago.
No, it's okay if you're Chris Cuomo.
That's okay.
Governor Cuomo, right?
If you get a contract, you are out there in a conservative. And I think you're going on CNN.
Don't buy a house.
Don't buy a house. Make sure that if they fire you, you get the rest of your contract. Because it's just
well, it's got to be tricky to be a liberal these days because they just kind of seem
they
pick and choose. No, they fired that AP reporter for saying something that so you've got AOC, Ilhan Omar, all these people just flat out saying racist, anti-Jewish stuff, right? And that's okay. And some AP reporter had tweeted out, again, something that could be, I guess, called anti-Semitic, and then she gets fired. So it's going to be, wait a minute. I thought we were anti-Semitic because we're liberals, right? Don't we actually not like Israel and we like Hamas?
Well, they had a whole part of View, which I was watching before coming down, where all of these little liberals Marjorie Taylor Greene said that Jewish people should object to this like they object to that. And then Meghan McCain, who can be likable on very brief seconds of time. You know what? All these people have been killed and shot and attacked, and you're all fine with that. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, oh no, she compared the Holocaust to wearing a mask.
We hate
anti-Semitism, except when we have real anti-Semitism, which we love.
Well, and they keep calling that one guy the QAnon, the guy with the horns and the Viking thing. They keep calling him the QAnon guy. And he's like, he's not. He's a black guy. I mean, the left is just insane. And that's one thing. Oh, whether folks know, Brian Junedeff is going to be joining us. He has a great column in American Thinker, Masks, Theater, and the Now, and the New Awareness Ribbon. So we can talk about that. But it kind of leads us into, Chuck and I were talking earlier, people are still, and I guess they're just going to forever, write columns about when are the Republicans, the divide in the Republican Party.
Just vicious divide.
It's the divide. You got Liz Cheney right here. And maybe With two supporters.
And Trump is 74 million, but it's a divide.
Right. And now technically, I guess that is a divide. I mean, technically.
Well, it's more like a fractionization, but.
it's like a point, like a pie out to the. But I think.
And they had George Will. They finally.
Right. So I thought he was dead.
Well, he should be. It's very tough to be an atheist and a Republican because then, Republicans believe in God and country and family and all that. And the atheists, you tend not to believe
in God
or any of the rest of them. So he's an official Republican atheist. And he said, we must burn into the Republicans the January 6th, similar to 9/11.
Here's the thing. I say with the January 6th Commission, bring it on. There's news coming out today. And we've been seeing this all along. I mean, we've seen the videotape of the Capitol Police just letting people in. Now, did Nancy Pelosi order it? I don't know.
They unlocked all the doors.
Right. Then they unlocked all the doors. And so I think there's every bit. And then all these people, who was that guy who took all the videotape? He got paid $90,000 by the networks. He's a Black Lives Matter guy. The so-called QAnon shaman is a Black Lives Matter.
What did he seize his money for?
Well, because he talked about it.
Why can't he talk about it?
Note to self, if you are a shameless shill for the left and you get paid, tens of thousands of dollars for your video by the networks, just shut up. Just shut up. I mean, number one, the IRS doesn't need to know that, right? Number two, just shut up because you never know anymore these days. What I mean, though, is that January 6th Commission, this is my prediction on that. The Democrats know that there are a lot of people who didn't like it, and they're hoping come 2022, people will remember it. I'm betting not. I think they're going to be more worried about gas prices by then.
No, they'll remember what a joke they made it of. They made, instead of a million people met at the mall to hear Trump, that a few people run by Antifa people entered the Capitol and did what?
Right.
They're still looking for Nancy Pelosi.
Well, what they did is the Capitol laptop. Police shot, right, they're raiding the wrong house every so often.
What's on her laptop? I don't want to know that. I think her and Biden probably have sharing porn sites or something.
It's like, and you're the freaking FBI, at least raid the right house, for Pete's sake.
How much surveillance did it take?
It's like, these look like regular people. These don't look like not that people, criminals can look like anything, but still.
Off to Alaska. Come on, everybody.
And why are we doing a no-knock raid exactly? What kind of money are they raising? Meanwhile, actually, some of the real criminals are going free. But I think that January 6th Commission, they just want to be able to talk about bad Trump. And I think there's as much going to come out bad about them. Well, first, I think nothing's going to come out, really. It's just going to be everybody posturing. But that kind of what I wanted to go with that, though, was, like we were saying, there are all these people saying the Republicans are divided, blah, blah, blah. They're not really divided. Again, there's kind of like Liz Cheney and a handful of Liz Cheneyites, and then 74 million people. And there was a great column today in Town Hall by Matt Vespa, where he was saying we all need to sort of channel our Terminator. We need to quit being worrying about what the, you know, what other people are saying.
We no longer can channel our inner Mitt Romney trying to please the liberal masters. I mean, I've always been, I'm at the Aspen Institute. They cheered me on.
Sandy, I thought Liz Cheney and her bottom feeders were going to leave the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. They would, Liz. They would leave, Sandra, but even no one will have them. They can't find anywhere to go, so they're still going to keep doing
this.
Yeah,
the New Democratic Party does not want Liz Cheney and her endless wars in Afghanistan.
But, you know, here's the thing, though, what I think is good is you do have people coming around like Ron DeSantis, right? I mean, the governor of Florida, every time I turn around, he's doing something else great. So today they have a bill that he signed, a bill that will prohibit censorship of politicians by Facebook and places like that. Now, you can get into how he can enforce, but at least they're making a stand.
Oh, wow.
Then, even more importantly, he signed a bill, a school choice bill that would let kids and families of four who are making less, or families that are making less than $100,000, would be eligible for fully funded education at the school of their choice.
Yay.
So here you've got Ron DeSantis. He's not, I'll give him this, he's not getting in Twitter wars like Donald Trump. He's not slamming people like Donald Trump. He's just kind of, not quietly, but loudly.
I don't know if we have to negatively compare Trump to him.
No, it's a different style. But I mean, he in his own way is getting, he's just getting it done, right?
He's got, you know, he doesn't have Paul Ryan in the state house or Mitch McConnell in the state senate.
But I mean, though, he is not caving in to the liberal narrative. He's not saying, I guess we're a divided GOP.
They went after him 60 minutes in one of the more shameful, pathetic smear jobs. What do they claim he did wrong? Oh, yeah. He had a donation from a vaccine company, so it must have been crooked, and they must have
even though the vaccine company said no, it wasn't it at all, it wasn't through him, it was anything
so
like that.
That was maybe
60 minutes in care.
Nobody cares about 60 minutes either. At least a lot of people don't care anymore. It's strange. And as to your point about the divided Republican Party, what's the divide?
Yeah.
I mean, I know what Donald Trump stands for and Trumpism stands for and the MAGA agenda stands for. No illegal immigration and limited legal immigration. It stands for Make America First, imposing tariffs for appropriate trade policies, negotiating trade agreements so they're favorable to Americans, favor American jobs, all the way through, getting out of foreign wars where it's necessitated and against the cultural Marxism of the day. So that's one side. What's the other side? What does Liz Cheney stand for? I stand for making the Republican Party strong again. What does George Will stand for? I stand for...
Well, and that's the thing. Don't be fooled by the mainstream corporate media. The only reason there is any talk about it at all is because they're the ones talking about it.
Right?
You read in Politico that they're like, what are they going to do about Donald Trump? It's like, we're doing it, right? We're like embracing our policies that he articulated. We're voting for candidates that Donald Trump endorses. He's exposing.
Because there's really no other side. The other side at best. Does that, we don't like his tweets.
Right.
And he says mean things, and unlike Democrats who never.
Right.
And so it's
like
always pathetic.
Like Chrissy Teigen. She never.
Chrissy Teigen. Thank God she got hers.
I'm not really clear who she is, but I'm glad she's been canceled.
She's the wife of John Legend.
I'm not.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
So it's just, there is no other side. There's no intellectual other side. Back to the old principles of George W. Bush. What did George Bush stand for? Certainly wasn't fiscal sanity, as he got Medicare Part D and just ran up the spending. Foreign wars, which he was big into. Drawings of Mexican immigrants. No Americans need apply. He's pathetic. He's pathetic, and he's Now they're wheeling him out, and he can feel the love.
Well, and again, it's just all the corporate media, and they're doing that. And it is, we've said before, it's a psyops. They want to try to convince us that we're alone, that we're isolated. But the more they hammer down, I think the more it's not working. And the problem they have going for them now anymore is that the world is falling apart. We've got Israel and Hamas bombing each other while the Democrats argue about who to blame. Again, nobody is saying maybe people shouldn't be bombing. I mean, nothing. It's just like all they do is they argue internally about that. We've got, gas prices over $3, and that's going nowhere soon.
Mark says that Liz is a party of Little Miss Manners.
Yeah, she's a party of the Karens. They can call them the Karens.
I don't want to be mean. You all know that.
Yeah.
What?
Nothing. No. Chuck, Mr. Compassion.
But Heidi Ganahl, she's going wild.
Oh,
Little Miss
no, so explain who she is. Heidi Ganahl.
Well, Heidi Ganahl is the last
only
statewide elected person you consider
in Colorado,
in
Republican.
Colorado, if you consider the Board of Regents as a statewide public office. And she's going through beautiful Colorado. She's interviewing all these wonderful people in our wonderful state. I mean, it's amazing.
And that's great, because it is a wonderful state, but it's like, I don't know, slightly fluffy. For our only, why is she not saying we need to get rid of open primaries? We need to bring jobs back to Colorado. We need to have Governor Polis. Here's a clue. Maybe Governor Polis should relinquish his emergency power since pretty much COVID is over. Even the Democrats acknowledge COVID is over. I mean, with the platform that Heidi Ganahl has, I'll give Christy Burton Brown this. And I know I like her more, I think, than you do in some of our.
I like Christy Burton Brown. Okay. She's on the advisory committee.
Yeah. She is all over the place. I mean, you see her picture. She's taking pictures here. She's taking pictures there. She's with Lauren Boebert here. She's with this person there. She's all over the place. And Heidi Ganahl, I'm sorry. First, I don't think she's going to run for governor. I don't. And if she did, I think that would be.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, whether it's a need to have a public presence. And she's got the doggy care thing. I'm not sure if it's a business thing, but it's something that normally candidates hoping to run for public office write a book or they do these things. And so you would assume that she might be interested, but I don't know.
And this is from Leo. Mitt Romney, Liz Cheney, Bill Kristol, and George Will are all in their sweat lodge circles. Can you imagine that discussion? I don't know what I want to think of any of those people wearing just a towel, Leo. That's the only thing. That's going to be an image now that's in my brain and going to be hard to get rid of.
Yeah,
and then from Sandra, Heidi Ganahl is also the owner of City Bark Off-Leash Dog Parks. I don't know if she's the owner of that. She is the owner Camp Bow Wow. Which actually they've taken our dog Tiger to. They're very nice. So good for her for that. But again, if she's doing this podcast, beautiful, I don't know. I mean, they're fluffy pieces. Even when I was in TV, I'm sorry, but no one watches that, right? I mean, they don't, right? Nobody. That's why they comes in TV. They have it. You have the A segment, the B segment, the C segment, the D segment. The fluffy, beautiful Colorado pieces come in the E segment right before the close when they know no one's watching, but they feel like they have to do it. I mean, that's great that she's doing that, but with all the things there are to tackle in this state. And like I said, I'll give Christy Burton Brown. She goes on Dan Kappas's radio show. She fills in. People call. I think that's what we need even more of, not beautiful podcasts. Patrick Neville and Dave Williams are talking about doing a podcast. I don't know if they do, but they would be good. Yeah, they would bring it on.
They let Polis have it.
Hopefully somebody should let Polis have it.
Well, it's
Camp Bow Wow. We'll see how it stirs up or how things shake out for 2022 in Colorado.
Here's my advice, and it's always correct, so you should take it to the bank. Don't run for anything that includes Denver, because the mail-in ballot combined with ballot harvesting means you cannot win. You just can't. It's not going. It doesn't matter how many miles you run, how many bags you punch, how many, you're not going to win. You can win outside of Denver and Boulder, where you could ballot harvest as easily as they can, and you should. And so those state races, the congressional races, or the state House, state Senate, those could be some great ones.
Right.
County commissioner ones.
School boards
and all those are all great. You can run for statewide office, you're insane.
Well, I think
Unless you're a Democrat, then you're all set.
Then you're all set. I think, and I'm the eternal optimist, even in Colorado, I think things are looking good because things are looking so bad, right? It's clear Joe Biden, you know, is not in control of things. Again, and it always, I think, comes down to the economy. The economy is bad and it's only going to get worse. We're going to have John Conlon on Wednesday. He's got a column up in AM Greatness where he talks about the number of young people every year who should be entering the job market who can't find jobs, or at least not good paying jobs, and with the impact that illegal immigration has on that.
And well, and visas and everything
right,
else.
Right, the visas, exactly. The legal immigration, too. And that's an interesting, and he said, you know, what are these people going to do? You've got that going on. You know, I think people are tired. A lot of people are tired of the cancel culture as well, because they're just tired. You never know when you're going to be canceled.
Let me remind you. If you're going through to Alzheimer patients and tertiary degree people.
I understand the ballot harvesting. Yes.
Well, I've done elections where.
But we can make it harder for them, right?
Well, you can make it harder for them by running where you can win. So take over the state house and the state senate. Win one. Don't spend all your time trying to be Secretary of State to a corrupt Secretary of State.
Republicans have the advantage, and always have, in terms of ideas. And the problem the Democrats have is they don't even have it. Their ideas are, you know, put you back in a mask. And actually, should we switch to that a second? Because have you noticed that essentially the wheels are falling off and have fallen off? The whole pandemic, panic porn, I mean, all of the lies.
The COVID con.
The COVID con. All of a sudden, look, you know, and we'll play a soundbite here. A year ago, Senator Tom Cotton was on Maria Bartiromo saying, you know what, I think this might have come from a lab. This is, you know, did it come from people eating bats? Or did it come from a lab where United States money was funding?
Reductive Fauci pouring money into.
Fauci and his Frankenstein friends are pouring
Fauci.
Money into manipulating viruses, coincidentally bat coronavirus viruses. And all of a sudden now everybody's like, maybe that is true. Maybe that is true. So, Thomas, if we could please pay the cotton bite number one.
Well, I think a lot of these so-called experts and scientific bureaucrats are trying to cover their tracks. Again, this could be a genuine scandal. This could be public health bureaucrats violating explicit direction from the Obama White House to continue research that is highly, highly dangerous and potentially susceptible to escape from a laboratory, especially a laboratory in China that has notoriously bad safety practices. But of course, a year ago, Maria, Donald Trump was still in the White House, and the press didn't want to say anything that would maybe help him get reelected or to confirm what people like I was saying, since they don't like my politics. I guess now that Joe Biden's in the White House, they're willing to investigate a little bit deeper. It's just an example, once again, of how the press has become deeply partisan in our day.
Not just partisan, but complicit. But here's the thing, though. One of the things, and I was glad to see Maria call him out on this, he said, so we need the Biden administration to investigate it. Maybe we could get John Durin on it, right? And maybe we could look into Hunter Biden laptop thing, too. Maria Bartiromo cited, essentially kind of, she goes, hey, wait a minute. She says, look at all the ways the Biden administration and the Biden family has for years been cozying up to China. So she says, we all know nothing's ever going to happen there. If we could play the cotton bite number two, please.
That's why it's so imperative that the Biden administration hold the Chinese Communist Party accountable and demand answers for all of these questions.
But he's not, Senator. You know that. We're talking about all of the things that's coming out of the Biden administration. You're going to be debating another bill this week on not having people invest in Chinese companies that are tied to the military. And yet the administration just removed one technology company from the Trump blacklist, and it postponed the ban on trading stocks of companies that are tied to the Chinese military. What's going on? The Biden administration keeps giving the Chinese Communist Party a break and rolling over for the CCP.
Exactly. And they're not going to stop, right? Hunter Biden is making plane trips in Air Force One openly now, probably. I mean, you know, that's not going to change. You're not going to get any answers. But here's, again, Victor Davis Hanson had a column today talking about that everybody's losing faith in public institutions. And you know what I say? Good. I mean, good, because we should. Look at how they have screwed us, right? So you've got what Cotton was talking about. You've got public health officials ignoring, even under President Obama, saying, hey, look, I think that we should not be manipulating viruses to make them more dangerous. I mean, call me crazy. Haven't we seen movies about that? It doesn't end well. And they ignore him. You've got them ignoring county commissions. You've got them ignoring parents. You've got them ignoring school boards and saying, nope, everybody has to be locked down. Masks work. Masks don't work. You've got him saying, we're not going to arrest criminals, but if we think you might have been at the January 6th thing and you might have touched Nancy Pelosi's, you know, laptop, we're going to do it. Yeah, we're going to blow your door in and harass you and try to arrest you. Absolutely, people have lost faith. And I think that's a good thing because we were conned and have been conned for a long, I mean, and Chuck, you've been on this more than me. I'm like, no, people are good. You're like, no, Julie, people are not. I mean, people are good, but these institutions. No,
for the Holocaust or Crusade, it doesn't matter. People are basically good. They've been slaughtering each other ever since they hit this planet. But it's good.
Now, and, you know, you look at the institutions of the FBI, Department of Justice. Does anybody trust the Department of Justice? Is anybody out there? I saw a thing that Bill Barr was saying, oh, the Durham report's going to be done soon. Does anybody, number one, believe that? Or number two, if it does come out that you think it's going to be anything other than a complete cover-up and whitewash of all of those bureaucrats and their, you know, lobbying friends?
When's it coming out again?
Soon. Before the election.
I mean, you know, who was the guy, Huber? I mean,
oh,
they
yeah.
have a contest
oh, yeah, that's
about
still going
who,
on. That's
is,
right.
who is a bigger joke, Huber or Durham? Let's see another picture of that mean-looking prosecutorial face of Durham. Knowing he's getting down,
yeah,
to
he's gonna get down.
He's getting down to the very nitty gritty of the whole thing.
Well,
yes, the rebound.
You know, and I'm glad Maria did. She said, you know, that sounds great. We don't need another freaking congressional investigation because all you do is you use it to posture. And I actually know that Donald Trump's not around. Hardly anybody watches those anymore anyway, mm-hmm. right? Remember? I mean, everybody was watching when the media would breathlessly report that they were about to nail Donald Trump for sure this time. And then, of course, they didn't. And now we just know that's not true. And I think, like I said on the show Friday, what I find really alarming is the number of people still wearing masks because they don't want to get yelled at. I mean, I've talked to people like that. Well, you know, I don't know. I don't want someone to yell at me. Who cares? You're an adult. If somebody yells at you, tell them to mind their own business or yell back or just ignore them. I mean, that's, I think, the best way to do it. Pretend, I don't know, that you don't understand.
Cough on them.
Yeah. Huh? What'd
cough
you-
on them.
Cough on them. No, don't cough
don't
on them.
Do
don't cough on
no,
them.
Do
but I mean, tell them, hey, I'm free. You can be free too. You have
you
the power.
You too can be free.
You too
can
be
free.
You don't need to wear this. And I think as more people go to the stores and more stores, most stores anymore that I've gone to don't require the mask at all. And that has fallen off because people, you can tell by people's behavior. So I think it's
and so when they go to Rev saying, wait a minute. You haven't been vaccinated. You go, yes, I have. I'm a midget. I got vaccinated the other day. I'm 42 years old.
That's right. Yeah. And this from Sandra. Look at our show with Mark Poff. That's P-O-F-F, Sandra, by the way, too. That's in case. El Paso County throwing John St. Augustine under the bus. Yes, they can't be trusted. Oh, and thank you. That was a great show. I mean, not because of us, he contributed
a
little bit, but I think it's time we have to not trust our institutions because we shouldn't trust our institutions.
They suck.
And well, they're out to screw us and take us over and take all the power away from us. That's what Donald Trump woke us up to. That's what they're trying so hard to slam us. They're trying to say, what did the OSHA now is saying? Well, maybe people should wear masks at workplaces. Now they say,
shut
no
up,
reason.
OSHA.
Exactly.
We don't need you people.
No.
You haven't been to work for 4 years.
You're not going to go back to work,
and you're sitting at your home just drinking Kool-Aid, and we don't want you.
No.
We don't need you.
No.
Just go away.
We've got with us Dr. Brian June Depp, filled in for us. He's longtime guest host and guest at 710 KNUS.
America's guest,
and at American Thinker, he's got a great column up today: masks, theater, and the new awareness ribbons.
And look, he's got a beard.
No, that's really my mask.
Your mask. Okay,
it's a disguise. It's electrostatic hair, and it, you know, catches any viral particle that comes near.
Hey, thank you for your time.
Sure, folks.
I loved your column. You know, the new awareness ribbons. Why don't you tell folks a little bit about the column?
Well, it seems like masks are the new awareness ribbon. You all know the awareness ribbons that the Hollywood celebrities wear at the award shows. They've got a ribbon for this, a ribbon for that. These are all good causes. They're diseases, disabilities, addictions, you name it. But it becomes a form of virtue signaling where the celebrities, it's who has more? You look like a Pentagon general with a chest full of little banners and ribbons and medals and all sorts of stuff. And it seems like masks are going the same route as a way of virtue signaling that you're smarter than everybody else, that you care more than everybody else. Why else would somebody wear a mask driving alone in their car?
like Chris Cuomo in a convertible.
Right. Or walking outside all alone in the sunshine, a nice breeze, a day like today, wearing a mask. It makes no point. Unless people are so traumatized by the past year that the other theory, maybe this is a form of Stockholm syndrome where people are identifying with their oppressors. Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, the CDC, NIH, everybody that's telling us to wear masks. But it seems to be a form of virtue signaling to the point where the mask wearers are scolding people that are not wearing a mask.
Although that's sort of died down, I've noticed.
It's kind of a reversal of fortune because now people, you can hear people screaming at people as they're walking along.
No.
You don't have to wear that mask, Karen. You can take it off.
I mean, it is kind of odd. I mean, most businesses that I've been in do not require a mask. It was at one and it was a medical thing. And I'm like, all right.
Medical facilities still do. That's not going to change quite yet. And unfortunately, I'm still wearing a mask to work. And that's how it's probably going to be for at least the short term.
But we just got a notice today. The swimming pools are open. We don't have to follow any restrictions there. And I think, you know, what's your theory on, Chuck and I kind of differ on why the Biden administration so ineptly, yet I'm glad they did it, just declared COVID's over. COVID's not a thing anymore. Everyone quit interviewing Dr. Fauci because he's an idiot. I mean, it's like all of a sudden, boom. It's like a week ago.
They didn't prepare the people for their
freedom.
Right,
and that's what people said.
They opened up the gates and they're all going, what?
They're not like these jail inmates that won't go outside the door because they're not sure what's going to happen.
Well, I think the walls are closing in on Dr. Fauci. He's been wrong about a lot of things. The origin of the virus coming from Wuhan and the lab there, we're discovering that there's more credibility to that. And if a year ago you said anything like that, you're a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
Now Dr. Fauci, who's been critical of anybody saying anything about the Wuhan lab, is saying, well, that's interesting. We don't know. We can't rule it out. Well, it's a subtle shift. And once that dam breaks, I think there'll be other things. The government withheld therapeutics.
Yes.
Say what you want about hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, et cetera. There's enough evidence that they do work in select patient groups. Most of the studies were done treating people that were very sick in the ICU already. And no, hydroxychloroquine is not going to magically get somebody off a ventilator who's in complete respiratory failure. But the person that tests positive or has been exposed and has a few symptoms, that might keep them out of the hospital. And this is a disease where there are no treatment recommendations as of yet.
That's a scene. I mean, they're doing it in India today. They've been doing it in other countries. Ivermectin, along with some other, cocktail of one, has been shown to be 99% effective, except for people in deeply respiratory illness. I mean, it's almost like a cure for cancer, yet they don't acknowledge it. I mean, we ran into some people and they've got COVID, and we said, well, great. Why don't you talk to your doctor? And the doctor told them, no, there's nothing you could take. And you just feel like,
because they don't want to get banned by YouTube.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, what, after a year, you'd think we'd have some outpatient treatment regimens.
Right.
And recommendations from the smart set at the universities and Mayo Clinic and Johns Hopkins and the government agencies. What do you do if you're sick? You test positive and you've got mild symptoms. What does that cohort do? Right now, the recommendation is, drink Gatorade and take some ibuprofen and hope for the best and hope you don't crash and end up in the ICU and potentially die. Where is the early treatment?
Right.
There should be early treatment recommendations. And the drugs that have been touted have been around forever.
They're
quite safe. there are exceptions to everything. You can overdose on water. So people can drink too much water and kill themselves. But these are safe drugs.
You look at the amount of money that the pharmaceutical people have made with the vaccine, and they can't be sued and all of that. Let me ask about this, because Charlene raises a good point, which I think is partly true. One of the reasons I think that all of a sudden COVID is over is, you know, it was starting to become sort of like a lost leader. They pretty much got everything they wanted. They got rigged elections. They got us all wearing our stupid masks. They saw how easy it was to manipulate us.
They destroyed small businesses on behalf of Target and Costco and everyone else.
Destroyed school, tried to
destroyed schools.
Destroyed schools.
Got rid of racist learning like math and all that.
And then meanwhile, Biden's popularity was going down and he had a bunch of other crises. So, I mean, what do you think about all that?
Well, put yourself in China's shoes a couple years ago with Trump squeezing them on trade deals, and they need a game changer. They did not want four more years of Trump in charge, and neither did the deep state in their interests. Social media didn't want him. Big business didn't want him. Big pharma didn't want him. He was really a president for the little guy, the American people.
Yeah,
big corporate interests did not want him. And if you were to come up with a grand plan of how to get rid of him, what would you have done differently?
Yeah. I mean,
this was a brilliant plan. You let a virus go, and whether it was deliberate or accidental remains to be seen. But the virus came from Wuhan. It's likely not of wet market or animal origin. That's been pretty well debunked. And the Chinese closed down Wuhan and let people travel from China all over the place. And when the outbreak started December, January, there were probably cases earlier. There were three scientists at the lab that got a mysterious flu-like illness all at the same time. What a coincidence.
Yeah.
And even in the U.S., they looked at banked blood. People gave blood donations. They tested some of that blood for antibodies. And late fall, people that donated blood late fall of 2019 already had antibodies. So there were exposures. We just didn't know what it was. It was flu season. And yeah, the flu test comes back negative. So what? Somebody's in respiratory failure. They go to the hospital. They go to the ICU. They're treated as they would any other respiratory illness. They just didn't know what it was.
There was no test. How do you know it's COVID? You know, they hadn't gotten to that part yet. And no, sure. I think you're right. And I think I do find it odd that there are so many people. And, Mark was talking about, he was at King Soopers and he took his mask off. And some lady went to complain, but the employee wasn't wearing their mask either. So they couldn't do that.
That didn't go well.
No. But I mean, I was told this. I was walking in a store, in a big box store, and a guy was following me in, an older guy. Older than me, I guess it's not that old. And he said, you know, the sign was gone about wear your mask. And I said, I'm not wearing mine. I'm kind of a beg for forgiveness person. And he said, I'm kind of a coward person who doesn't want to get yelled at. So I'll see what happens to you. And then as soon as he saw that I didn't get yelled at, he took his mask off. But I'm surprised at the number of like adults, right, wandering around who just don't want some stranger that they never heard of and will never see again yelling at them. To me, that's astonishing. And I wonder if the Democrat lawfare playbook people, you know, have some sort of psyop designed around this again.
Well, you're creating a fearful and submissive population. We've been exposed to fear porn for well over a year that, you know, if you're not 6 feet away from the next person and you don't have three masks on, you're going to die. And people believe that. There was an article in the New York Times last week featuring some people that have no intention of giving up the mask. And there was one guy that he's had COVID, he's been fully vaccinated, he will not leave his house without an N95 mask, a cloth mask on top of that, and goggles. And he's going to do that for at least 5 years. I mean, fine. I mean, you can wear a Halloween mask if you want, but so what? What is the science behind that? I think it's...
I don't know if it's
virtue signaling or just the fear that people are so traumatized that the world is a dangerous place. And humans have been on the planet for many years. And now all of a sudden, if you take a walk without a mask and a face shield, you're going to drop dead.
Right. You could, of course. What did Tucker Carlson said? Your children are more likely to get eaten by cheetahs than they are, you know.
Oh, sure. You look at the odds of being struck by lightning or dying in an automobile accident or falling and hurting yourself. There are a lot of very common ways of getting hurt or dying. And
not common ways. I was reading when it software started, I did some research on in Colorado, like an average of 3 people a year die. This is true of like vending machines falling on them. I'm like, who knew that vending machines are
walk at your own peril. By
yeah,
I think there was a scene in Breaking Bad where an ATM fell on some meth addict or something. Yeah. So I guess it can happen.
It can. And it does. So, well, what do you make? I mean, you're a doctor, obviously. And, you know, and do people talk to you about the mask thing, or I'm hopeful that as time goes on and people see more people not getting yelled at, and, you know, it just was.
No, I hope just the opposite.
You want more people?
I want a permanent sign of libtards.
Well, there you go.
And if they, you know, that is, they'd be identified, we'd know who they are, we could hate them for themselves and not having to guess. So
my comment in my article was you can take the Biden sticker off your car if you're driving alone with a mask. We all know who you voted for. I think that would be more reliable than any poll Rasmussen can
there
come
out. There you go. That's a good point. You could say 74 million people are not wearing masks anymore, mm-hmm. and only 80 are wearing masks.
In the medical world, it's interesting because we get contradictory recommendations. The CDC made a recommendation. It wasn't a mandate. It's not law. They said you don't need the mask if you've been vaccinated, with the exception of healthcare settings. So that's hospitals, emergency rooms, offices, et cetera. But then Governor Polis gave an executive order, which to me carries the weight of, you know, more law than a guidance.
Right.
And didn't exempt healthcare facilities. So then, well, what do we do here? Who do we listen to? We get contradictory advice. And that's the same.
That is rock and a hard place. Do I listen to Governor Polis or listen to the CDC? That's not a great choice.
I think I'm just going to use my own common sense. Yeah. But, you know, the other thing I'm complaining that they did is they left parents in complete limbo, right? So, number one, we all know now that kids are not very much at risk themselves. They're not very much at risk of giving it to somebody, yet they can't get the vaccine yet. And so they say everybody who's been vaccinated doesn't have to wear a mask, but the kids can't get a vaccine. So now wait, so kids have to wear a mask? And then I've seen some lefties say, so all the parents and all the rest of us should still wear a mask to be in solidarity with the kids. I mean, what's up with that?
No, we don't. I mean, you're in solidarity with maybe a family member that loses their hair after cancer treatment. That doesn't mean the whole world has to shave their head.
Right.
So it's you know, you do solidarity on a micro level, not a macro level.
Right.
And I'd be concerned about vaccinating kids. There hasn't been much testing on it. We don't know long-term effects. Remember, the vaccine is still not approved. It's not FDA approved. It's being used under emergency use authorization, which technically makes it experimental. And I'd be cautious about, you know, vaccinating anybody and everybody. The real purpose of the vaccine was to protect the vulnerable. That's why, you know, pneumococcus vaccine is for elderly. Shingles vaccine is for elderly. You're not giving children shingles vaccine, because what are the odds of a healthy kid getting shingles?
Yeah.
Very, very low.
Right.
Like
right.
Non-existent. So you're vaccinating those that are vulnerable. You take yellow fever prophylaxis if you're going to Africa, not if you're going to Kansas City.
Let me kind of switch to subject and ask you, what do you expect, if anything, out of the Maricopa audit? Are you hopeful for that?
I've been hopeful for so much.
I read you. We've been
hearing about the calm before the storm and the great awakening and the reckoning. And, you know, where's Durham? I'm like Trump. I'm wondering where Durham is either. Chuck, you're a lawyer. I mean, does this Durham guy exist, or is he like, you know, Batman or Superman, a fictitious lawyer?
He and Huber from Utah have a vacation cabin up in the Catskills.
They've been up there for the past year, you know, making whiskey and smoking cigars and
having a good time.
I don't know if anything's going to happen. I'm cautiously optimistic, and I look at the resistance from Rachel Maddow and Morning Joe and some of these other people that are hysterical every night about, or morning for Joe, but her hysterical on a daily basis about this audit. My attitude is, do it. If this is the most legitimate and fair and honest election ever, the Democrats should be cheering this.
Right.
My attitude is, you know, Trump's been complaining about it, so do the audit and you'll shut him up. He won't be able to say anything more about it.
Right.
Yet they're not. They're taking the opposite approach. So that tells me there's something they're hiding, whether it's uncovered, whether anybody's going to do anything about it. So they uncover fraud. So they decide that Trump really won Arizona. Then what?
Yeah.
Do you think Nancy and Chuck are going to say, oh, well, we better, you know, hold a new election? That's not going to happen.
No.
Is the military going to step in and take over until a new election's held? I don't think so.
No,
so what's going to happen? We've already seen how the courts have been quite uninterested in hearing any of these cases. The few that they've heard have come down favorably on the side that there probably was some shenanigans or fraud. But the Supreme Court didn't hear any cases. It's like, you know, you don't have standing, or it's a Tuesday and you should have filed it on a Thursday. And they have all these excuses of why they don't hear the cases.
Right.
So it's not like every court case has been against Trump. They just haven't been heard.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, I think you're right. I think we're going to uncover stuff. But then what do you do? I think that red states hopefully will use that to toughen up their laws. But in Colorado, it's
pointless. Similarly, what happened with the Japanese after the Supreme Court decided that they could remain in the penal camps in Colorado and everywhere else. 80 years later,
we'll get
apologies.
A statue.
We should have actually taken it. We forgot to do anything. Oh, is that similar that we did with Plessy versus Ferguson? Is that the same as we did in World War? Is that the same? How to destroy whatever reputation they had.
Well, there again, nobody has faith in any institutions because they just screw us. It's like
they do what they want. It's no longer government of the people, by the people, for the people. It's really oligarchy, or call it what you want.
You
want to call it communism, but that's you know, we've gone socialist, we've gone fascist. So what's the next step? You've got the government controlling private industry because of what they say. You've got Delta Airlines and Coca-Cola and these others basically deciding policy. They've become an arm of the government. The social media tech giants certainly are.
Right.
The media is.
Right.
And they're controlling education, they're controlling entertainment. Watch a movie now. Every movie is like so woke that it's
they're bombing.
Disgusting.
I saw Fast and Furious 9. My people open to massive money making in China, but it isn't here yet. And so, you know, the woke movies that are made, or the unwoke, the good movies that are made that just have a plot and good acting. Now, granted, one could argue about the acting in Fast and Furious, but you get my point.
Sure.
Those are popular. And the other movies, the woke movies, no one even goes to them. No one's watching the award ceremony. So
I remember in the 1960s, I wrote a book by Ralph Ellison, The Invisible Man. Basically talking about how blacks don't exist in a lot of, back then, in the advertising, the TV shows, and everything else. Now it's the white man who doesn't exist. I mean, I watch
endless white guys canceled.
I watch advertising. It's about 48-55% black, the other percent, and there's like one white guy ever. Not very many Asians. They're not recognized either.
But they don't get to count.
But the only time you have a white person is for a nice interracial marriage or something. I mean, it's just, it's amazing how every ad, it's gone from one extreme now over to the other extreme.
Sure. Hollywood has a reputation of being very racist, and decades ago it was, and now it's swung the entire other way. And every lead of a movie is going to be some aggrieved group or transgender or something. And, you know, Hollywood's free to make whatever movies they want, but we're also free to watch whatever movies we want.
Right.
Would you feel sorry for the poor Hollywood Press Association? I mean, they had this utter scam going for 60 years where they divvy up $60 million they had to put down the show, but you know, they kept it down to like 87 members, and so, you know, they took $20 million and divided it among themselves. And then one day some jerk Los Angeles Times said, "Hey, but you don't have any black members," and it's all over. It's all over. The county train's over. I mean,
how about just making the best movies they can,
right?
Entertaining, fun to watch, and picking the best actors and actresses.
Yeah, well, can you imagine if
what a concept? It's like, you know, United, instead of promising that, you know, half of their pilots are going to be people of color or women or something.
Asians, yeah.
It doesn't have to be really good pilots. Yeah, exactly. Sure.
I'd like to see if United's board of directors is as reflective of that diversity as they want for the pilots.
Probably not. No.
And if they pick a pilot that's of lesser aptitude, your life is in their hands. That's beyond, you know, reparations, virtue signaling, diversity, tolerance, all that. This is life or death decisions. And it's the same as, you know, medical schools.
It's surgery, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of jiggering their admission quotas to.
They do, don't they?
Well, I mean, you can't.
Well, they do. But taking more. And the problem is, you know, I saw it in my days when I went through medical school. If affirmative action brought some kids in that couldn't handle the coursework, they didn't make it through.
Yeah.
Or if they made it through, they couldn't pass the exams. There was always a reckoning at some point. You have your 3 days of national board exams, and, you know, skin color, gender, none of that matters. It's you and a big multiple choice test, and you either pass it or you don't. You don't get any points. And if you've gone through 4 years of medical school and then you don't pass the exam, then what?
Well, then they lower. They do what they did with law.
It used to
pass in Colorado 65%, but not enough of the favored people passed. So they jacked it up to 70%, not enough of the favored people. So now they've got it up to 85%. I mean, you know, by the fourth time, almost anybody can pass a bar.
And lawyers are one thing, but you're right. You don't want your surgeon. Like, I actually flunked
well,
out.
You don't want your death penalty lawyer.
Or your Uber driver, for that matter. Hey, well, Brian, we're kind of starting to run out of time. What are you working on, and where can people find you more of your stuff?
Oh, I write mainly for American Thinker and for Rasmussen Reports. I also have an every other week column in The Villager for... You know,
anti-Asian. You're anti-Asian. That's where it came out. You've been exposed.
Keep me out of that.
I mean, I know Mr. Sweeney and all that. Nice guy. I couldn't believe how much grief they got.
That's just so unfair.
I guess they do an April Fool's story every year, and you know,
right. More. Oh, you can't. I mean,
these days you can't. It's nobody has a sense of humor. It's
right.
Look at the comedians that have been banned from serving as a MC of a Hollywood award show because of, you know, some joke. Imagine, right. You know, Don Rickles, Rodney Dangerfield. People like that.
Well, I don't know. So, can you imagine what happened if somebody made kind of a dark humor joke about school shootings? I mean, he'd be dead.
that's true.
That's the way the world works. Hey, Brian, it's great to see you and talk to you again.
Yeah, fun. This was great.
Thank you for your time this afternoon. We'll see you again soon.
Like the beard.
All right. Thank you. Take care, guys.
Dr. Brian doomed up there, guys. You can find him at I read his stuff a lot at American Thinker. And there are links to all of his other stuff there, too. Let me some of the comments here. This is kind of funny. Dr. Donna, maybe you could. We only got about 2 minutes here. But you were talking about, I saw in the column, about filing a lawsuit to try to get rid of Polis's executive powers. Have they done that? Or you'd think
well,
that
sure
some
they
of
did.
The public.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Randy Corbin filed all kinds of suits.
That's true.
And now there's a, okay, we'll schedule the 14th hearing now. And You betcha. We'll move this along quite rapidly as maybe, we are.
Maybe
as
by the time he's
elected it's a
again.
Republican-oriented law. No, we can't hear that for another 5 years. No.
We'll check back on Wednesday with that if you want, because, we have one already, and the other one that we're working on getting filed, which we will, because we don't say we're going to file them forever and ever and collect money and then do nothing.
Right.
So we'll get that filed next, because the Republicans are kind of responsible for what we got here with the EOs and the authority they've given the governor. So
right. Well, I know Patrick Neville and those guys have tried their best. Okay. Well, if you can, we'd love to have you pop in on Wednesday. I think we have a guest at 3:30, but at the beginning.
Get in early, get in often.
Get in early and often. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you there. And this was Charlene, was kind of funny too. She has ESP. She said, I knew Durham was a head fake when the mainstream media barrages with the tough guy photo
tough
of him.
The same
then,
tough guy.
And then I saw another photo of him and he looked like a regular bureaucrat. So that's probably true. The whole thing was. Hey, want to let you know you can get all of our stuff, all of our shows at chuckandjulie.com. Love to have you go there. Follow us on YouTube. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Our subs are growing too. So that's exciting. And thank you to the guys at BBS, Brian Jundep. Love having everybody on Zoom. We'll see you all on Wednesday.
Bye.